Welcome to the Craig T. Owens audio blog with Craig's blog posts in audio format to go. Now, here's Craig.
Verifiable facts about the birth of Jesus. Today's podcast is the audio from a teaching video that I shared on my YouTube channel. If you would like to watch this video, I've shared the link in the show notes.
When I was in high school, I was at my friend Chuck's house while his out-of-state family was visiting for the Christmas holidays. One night, his youngest niece asked Chuck and I if we would read her a bedtime story. Well, we searched all over Chuck's parents' home, and we could not find a children's book anywhere. So just on a whim, I grabbed a big fat book. It must have been an encyclopedia or a dictionary, and just opened to a random page and began making up a story. I just said something like, "Once upon a time, there was a little girl with long blonde hair and magical slippers. She lived on the edge of the forest, and she wanted to visit her grandmother who lived a long ways away." And I handed the book over to Chuck. And Chuck says, "And as she went on her trip, she was nervous about finding her way back, so she left a trail of breadcrumbs. When she came to the big river and was trying to figure out how to get across, a big wolf came bounding out of the woods." And right at that cliffhanger moment, he handed the book back to me, and I turned the page and said, "And the wolf ran up to her and said, 'Want to buy a packet of magic beans?'" We just made up a story. It was a little bit of some children's stories, a little bit of fables, and a whole lot of our own imagination. I don't remember whether his niece appreciated the story or was completely confused by the story, but she did giggle throughout the whole time that we were telling the story. Now, if you asked us later on, "Hey, could you repeat that story?" There's no way we could have repeated it because we just made it up. It was just nonsense. It was just putting things together and just being silly. You know, that's one of the tip-off. If somebody's telling you a story that is a make-believe story, they'll say something like, "Once upon a time," or "A long time ago in a faraway place," or "In a magical land." But they don't give you the specific details, the names, the places, the settings, the circumstances that are going on. When we were doing our Living Nativity story, I would tell the Christmas story just right from the Bible. I would take the accounts in Matthew and Luke and put them together without any editorial comment. I would just read the scriptural account. And as I was doing that, I would look out into the crowd, whether it was adults or children. I would see wide-eyed wonder. I'd see people just going, "Wow, this is an amazing story." But it's not a story that starts off once upon a time in a magical land in a faraway place. It's a real story that took place with real events and real people. In fact, Luke writes in his gospel, in the third verse, he's writing to a man named Theophilus, and he says, "Since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good to also to me to write an orderly account to you." And he talks about how he even interviewed eyewitnesses to make sure that he had the details straight. And he does give details. Two verses later on, he tells us that Herod was king of Judea, and there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the division of Abijah, and that he was married to Elizabeth, and that they weren't able to have any children. Then you get to the beginning of chapter 2, and which is the night that Jesus was born, and listen to all of these details. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born." Now, get to chapter 3, and we read more details. Listen to these. "In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas." I mean, all of these specific details and names and places and titles for people that are there. These are what historians would refer to as verifiable facts. In other words, throughout history, archaeologists have uncovered inscriptions that have named these same names that Luke recorded. There's been historical documents that have been unearthed that verify that what Luke recorded here was true, that truly was the king at that time. That was the Roman Caesar that was at that time. That was the governor. That was the tetrarch. All of these details that are so specific that have been verified. Now, there's another way of saying it, too. We could say that people make falsifiable statements. Here's what that means. That means that making a statement that you could prove it as false. For instance, if I were to say to you something like, I can predict the weather, and tomorrow it's going to snow. That is a falsifiable statement, because all you have to do is wait until tomorrow, see what happens, and then you can say, hey, Craig, it didn't snow. You don't know how to predict the weather. Or you might say, you know, it did snow, but I think that that was a lucky guess. Let's have you try it again and see if you can predict the weather on another date. Well, when we go into the Old Testament, there's prophecies that are made about the birth of Jesus. These would be considered falsifiable statements. For instance, Isaiah says that Jesus is going to be born of a virgin. That is a falsifiable statement, because you can just wait and see when Jesus is born. You can say, oh, nope, she wasn't a virgin, and so therefore we have now made that statement false. But look what Luke records here. There's an angel that comes to visit Mary and says, Mary, you are going to be pregnant and you're going to have a baby that's going to be named Jesus. And Mary says this, how will this be since I am a virgin? When we go to Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, Matthew tells us that the fact that that Jesus was born of a virgin is a fulfillment of the prophecy. Or the prophet Micah. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, names the birthplace of Jesus as being Bethlehem. And that is another falsifiable statement, because you can just wait. And when Jesus was born, if he was born anywhere else other than Bethlehem, you could say, Micah, you don't know what you're talking about. You got it wrong. But we just read that here in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 there, where he says, they went up to Bethlehem, and the time came for Jesus to be born there in Bethlehem. That is verified. So, friends, we need to remember that when we're going into this Christmas season, there's a lot of make-believe stories about St. Nicholas, Santa Claus, and his reindeer, and a whole bunch of other things that kind of revolve around this time of year. But when we're talking about the story of Jesus, there are verifiable facts. There were falsifiable prophecies that have been proven true by the birth of Jesus. There are verifiable historical facts that Jesus was born exactly as predicted, exactly in the place where the Bible says that he was born. But you know what? There's also prophecies that have been made about the second coming of Jesus. So when we celebrate at this time of year the birth of Jesus, his first advent, we have to remember that all of those things were true, but there's still more prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. And the biggest one of all is the second coming, the second advent of Jesus. Now listen, friends, if you miss out on Christmas, say that you forgot to buy a gift for somebody, it might be embarrassing. You can probably recover from it. But if you miss out on the gift that Jesus has for you, where he came to pay the penalty for your sin and for my sin, so that we could have this incredible gift of eternal life. When he comes back again and has a final day of judgment, where people are separated by, did they accept in their heart that Jesus paid the penalty for their sins, and they believed in that, and they made Jesus the Lord and Savior of their life, or they didn't. And those people will be separated from God's presence forever and ever. Those who accepted Jesus as their Savior will enter into God's presence forever and ever. There are a lot more ramifications for missing out on that. So this story of the birth of Jesus is not a once upon a time, make believe in a faraway magical land. It is a real story that took place at a real moment in history. Just as true, Jesus is coming back. It is a real event that will happen, and I hope that you'll be ready for it. If you've got any questions on this, I'd love to be able to talk with you. You can leave me a comment below, or you can reach out to me, maybe email me. I would love to be able to talk with you a little bit more about this. I wish you a very Merry Christmas, and I hope that you let that sink in, the fact that Jesus was born and the fact that Jesus is coming again. Merry Christmas, friends.
To get in touch with Craig, to read more posts, or to access the huge library of resources Craig has compiled, please check out craigtowens.com.